The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Tomorrow can be bigger. Just grow, let the word overflow. Live a life bigger than yourself. You're created for greatness. Live a life bigger than yourself.
You are listening to the Live Big broadcast with Bishop Derek Greer, the radio ministry of Grace Church in Dumfries, Virginia. We're so glad you joined us, and we pray that you are strengthened and transformed by God's word today. Are you ready? Let's get into the word.
We're going to be in Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1. Now, Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. Now, this may surprise you, but Jericho was not a particularly large city. Actually, Jericho was under 10 acres large or small, if you will. But Jericho was older than Athens, older than Thebes. The city was built like a fortress, and it was one of the oldest and best defended cities of the ancient world. And right before this point, God had miraculously parted the Jordan. This is important. Now, to get them out of bondage, God opened the Red Sea and they walked as on dry land. But also to get them into the promise, God also did a very similar miracle. And at flood stage, he opened the Jordan. And God will do miracles to get you out, but also to get you in. So God had just performed this miracle, and everyone in the city knew about it. And despite Jericho's great walls that everyone talked about and its great history, everyone in the city was uneasy. Now, the Bible teaches, if God be for you, who can be against you? But the Bible also teaches, if God is against you, who can be for you? It is a fearful thing for a person, for a city, for a nation to fall into the hands of the living God. And it said, none went out and none came in. The city was on complete lockdown. And the Lord just appeared to Joshua at the end of chapter 5. It's actually the Lord Jesus Christ. And Joshua wanted to know, are you for us or for against us? And Jesus is like, listen, I'm for the Lord, and you need to decide if you for me or against me. But the Lord said to Joshua a one-word sentence that almost out of the gate brings us to our focus today. And this one-word sentence is see. Now, we are only in verse 2 of chapter 6 of Joshua, and the walls don't fall down until verse 20. But what God is trying to show us is, if you want God to bring down walls in your life, you first got to see it before you see it. But as we go on, we're also going to learn that this type of vision requires the help of the Holy Spirit. And Jesus in the gospel calls the Holy Spirit our helper, says he will guide us and teach us into all teach us and guide us into all things. And the Holy Spirit's job is basically to give us vision, to help us see what we cannot see. And there's no better teacher than the Holy Spirit and no better textbook than God's word. So Jesus says to him, see, watch the way Jesus speaks though. I have given, that's past tense, Jericho into your hand. Now, no wall has fallen. There's no block has fallen. No soldier has circled the city. But God wanted Joshua to see it as already done. If you want to walk with a God who calls things that are not as though they are, you got to be willing to see things that are not as though they really are. In Isaiah chapter 46 and 9, God explains his omniscience. And this is the way he does it. He says, "For I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me." God doesn't have a confidence problem, by the way. And then he describes the thing that makes him uniquely God, declaring the end from the beginning. According to Scripture, God is a reverse planner. His work in our lives always begins with the end in mind. Now, we're disappointed, we're you know, sad and upset and bent out, you know, in the lips, because we often focus on the pain of the present and the hurt of the past. But God's focus is the results in the end. God doesn't think the way we think. He said, another place in Isaiah, "My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are not your thoughts." You understand? As high as the heavens are above the earth, are my ways above your ways. 2 Corinthians picks up on this idea, and Paul says it another way. "For our light and momentary affliction, which is but for a moment, anything compared or divided by eternity equals zero." So as much as you think you got to go through in life, when you compare that to eternity, it's absolutely nothing. So as much as Paul had to go through, he said it was but for a moment. But watch what he understood. "And it is working for us." What your momentary affliction is working for you. Watch this. "A more exceeding weight in glory." And what we see here is God doesn't promise that it will always be easy. He just promises that in the end, it will be worth it. Back to Joshua 6 and 2. So God begins this portion of Scripture with this one word sentence, "See." And in order for them to do what God wanted them to do, they had to see first. He said, "See, I have given," past tense again, no stone had fallen out the wall. They hadn't circled the cities. Nothing tremendous had happened yet. "But see it now, that I have already given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor." So Joshua, God wanted Joshua to see himself defeating the whole kit and caboodle. He wanted Joshua to see himself taking the city, defeating all his political leaders, and its army through the power of God. Now, the reason many of us find ourselves depressed and often confused is because we don't see ourselves winning. We feel hopeless. We feel trapped. We see no way out, not because of the circumstances as much as what we see on the inside. Romans 15 and verse 13 has helped me over the years. Paul says by the Holy Spirit, "Now may the God of hope," now that says that, I mean, that we could spend the rest of the morning talking about that. God is a God of hope. If you think you're hearing from God and there's no hope, it's not God. God specializes in hope. Hope is what God brings and what he does. "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy." Now we see in this verse that joy comes from hope. So if we lose hope, that's when despair and depression follows. Now, you may not know this about me, but my wife does, and anyone that knows me well does. I fight discouragement regularly. It tries to visit me, if not monthly, weekly, if not weekly, daily. Some days it feels like hourly. But I fight so hard because I've lived long enough to know what depression is like. I know how easy it is to fall into it and how hard it is to climb out of it once you find yourself in that situation. So every time I start to lose my joy, I immediately check my hope. And I've learned we must accept finite disappointments, but never lose infinite hope. All Bible hope is the expectation that somehow, despite what just happened, despite what they just said, despite what you just saw, somehow God is going to work all things together for good. Hope is knowing that if I just hang on, morning's coming. Hope is the understanding weeping may endure for a night, but joy will come in the morning. Hope is recognizing that whatever you're facing is temporary. But God's word is eternal, invisible, and more powerful than any weapon on the planet. And if I just hold on to that word, hide it in my heart, I'm going to get to the other side of whatever I'm dealing with in my life. Now, Paul said this. He said, watch the text now. Not after everything's all right. In the midst of the battle, where folks are still acting ugly, now may the God of hope, watch this, not just a little bit, fill you with all joy. Hope, God-sized hope, will fill you. Human hope comes in little tiny things in the past quick. God-sized hope will fill you to overflowing. May the God of hope fill you, watch this, with all joy. So we see hope that comes from God will what? Fill you. And peace and believing. Now notice, joy and peace are connected. Lose hope, lose joy. Lose joy, lose peace. But it all starts with hope. That you may abound in hope. Now, the only way we can abound or flourish in hope in such a dark world is if we see things differently. And the only way you're going to see it before you see it and see life differently than your neighbor is included in this final clause, by the power of the Holy Spirit. This type of sight, this type of vision, in the midst of a crisis, in the midst of a trial, in the midst of a challenge, is not something you can naturally manufacture on your own. It requires a relationship with the Holy Spirit. Now, I know we sing songs about this, and we mean well when we sing it, and I'm not criticizing you for saying it, but I want to tell you this. No one really needs more of the Holy Spirit. He just needs more of us. And if we would yield who we are and what we have to Him, He is already more than sufficient, more than enough. Back to Joshua 6 and 3. He said, you shall march around the city, all you men of war, and you shall all go around the city once, and this you should do for 6 days. So I want you to put yourself in their shoes. To the outside and watching world, they look silly. They look foolish. Your worship may look silly. Your worship may look foolish. Your tithing, your giving, your serving, your decisions may look silly. It may look foolish. But when you see it on the inside, you march to the rhythm of a different drummer. You hear what I'm saying? Now, people may criticize our faith, but they won't be able to criticize our results. I am preaching good right there. I want you to tell your neighbor, laugh at me now, but in a few years, you're going to come to me asking for advice. Come on, tell your neighbor. Laugh at me now. Get the laugh out right now. But just give me a little while. You're going to come to me for advice. And seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. Now, I'm a thinking person, and that's part of my problem. I'm very analytical, and it gets in my way at times. So any reasonable person that just got these directions from the Lord is going to say, you know, in their minds, well, tell me, how is walking around walls and blowing horns going to win a military battle against the most fortified city in this part of the world? But 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and 18 tells us, it says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are saved, it is the power of God. So would you stop trying so hard to be like everybody else? You don't even like everybody else. So as silly as you may look at times, as different as we may seem at times, God's plan always wins. Always wins. Always lasts. Always gets the final word. Joshua 6 and 4. But the seventh day, you shall march around the city seven times. And what we see here is when you walk with God, follows his instructions, the results will not always be instant. They had to keep at it for days before they saw results. So it's on the seventh day, you're going to go around seven times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. And it shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn. And when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout. Then the wall of the city will fall down, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. Now, I would like you to imagine what it was like for Joshua to tell this to his generals. We're going to face the most fortified city in the ancient world, the oldest city in the ancient world. And what God told us to do is just walk around it. And on the last day, we got to do it seven times. And just out of nowhere, the walls are going to fall. And what you need to realize, this is really the final exam for the children of Israel. They had been in the wilderness for 40 years, and they refused to listen. But finally, this new generation learned. Obeying God's word is the most powerful weapon in all of our arsenal. And if it makes you look silly for a little while, look silly, because in the end it will speak and not lie. So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that the seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of the ram's horns before the Lord, advanced and blew the trumpets, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord followed them. Verse 9, the armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. A little bit wordy there, but simply what is being written here, the ark of the covenant was protected by the people from the front and behind. And we must protect the presence of God in our lives above all else. Mm-hmm. You know, as I keep saying on Sunday, and I'm going to keep saying it till you get it, peace is not the absence of trouble. It is the presence of God. But watch this, verse 10. Joshua is smart. He had commanded the people, saying, "You shall not shout." He's like, if y'all don't get that, let me say it another way. "Or make any noise." I don't want to hear, I don't want to hear nothing. I don't want to hear the slightest grumble. "Any noise with your voice." They say, if you didn't get that. "Nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth." You see, their fathers had died in the wilderness because of their constant griping, complaining, and criticizing both God and Moses. And God, and Joshua refused to let this happen on his watch. And what I've learned in my life is, particularly when my emotions want to run away with me, sometimes you just got to shush. You got to learn to stop talking yourself out of the miracle that God has for you. You have to caution yourself again about overthinking and just hide it in your heart. You know, that's what Mary did. That's what made Mary so wise. The angel spoke to her and she hid it in her heart. And then Jesus would say certain things and then she would hide it, the Bible said, in her heart. Why do should we hide God's word in his heart? Because he who promised is faithful. He said, "You shall not shout or make any noise with your voice. So this is not nothing. Nor a word proceed until the day I say to you, shout. And then you shall" what? "Shout." See, I have learned the hard way that silence is an answer too. And when I want to flip out and lose it, God said to Moses, he said, "Be still and see the salvation of your Lord." He said, "Moses, stop crying out to me. Just be still. Shut up. And watch me do what only I can do." Isaiah in 30:15, he says this, "In quiet and confidence shall be your strength." Sometimes people are doing all that talking because they really don't have confidence. But there's a quiet confidence that God wants to give each of us. But watch this. "Quiet and confidence shall be your strength." But you would not. You just had to keep talking. You just had to let your opinion be heard. You just had to let everyone, you know, understand how rational and logical you were and release all your fears into the atmosphere. But when it comes to second guessing God, never miss a good chance to shut up. Verse 14. I think this was a bigger miracle than him parting the Red Sea, what I'm about to read. So they did for 6 days. God's big mouth people stayed quiet, did not murmur, did not complain, did not second guess for a whole 6 days. Now the Bible teaches that faith speaks. But we also learn, particularly from Jairus, real faith also knows when to be quiet. And there are times you just don't put your emotions on blast. Just because you feel it, you don't have to say it. And just be still and see the salvation of your God. So as they walked around the walls, God was trying to bring a level of peace and tranquility into their hearts and lives. You remember when Jesus spoke to the storm? If he was upset, he couldn't have said what he said. He said, "Peace, be still." The peace on the inside of him, he wanted to get out on the storm. But often, the storm raging on the inside of us just shoots out of us, and all it does is add to the storm.
This has been Live Big with Derek Greer, the radio broadcast ministry of Grace Church in Dumfries, Virginia. It is our sincere prayer that you are blessed and empowered to live a life bigger than yourself today. If you want to know more about becoming a Christian or want to rededicate your life to Christ, Bishop Greer wants to walk you through a step-by-step guide. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. Visit gracechurchva.org/salvation to find out more. That's all for today. Until next time, live big.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.